You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Calgary Flames fans, it's time for Flames Unfiltered. Entertaining and controversial hockey talk with your host, Brad Berube.
Jeff Ward is our head coach, not an interim anymore. Is this a good thing? Is he our man? Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Flames Unfiltered. I am the host of the show, Brad Berube. Episode number 72, recording it on September 14th, 2020, as we roll through the conference finals, and in my mind, have been pretty darn exciting. I like this conference finals. I think it's been good. I still can't believe this Dallas Stars team. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy to me. I can't believe this team. As tonight they advanced by knocking off the Vegas Golden Knights. And I thought, I thought Vegas would roll Dallas. But then, what do we know? My predictions this offseason have been far from stellar. And that's what so great about hockey. It's a hard sport to predict. Teams get on rolls, goalies get hot, things get rolling, new players step up into the forefront and cap off a team like Dallas has been. And we get the emergence of some young defensemen that have been fun to watch and some crazy guys scoring up front, and get to watch Jamie Benn and Joe Pavelski as veterans lead this team to the Stanley Cup Finals, and that'll be interesting to see as the Dallas Stars will represent the Western Conference. You know, I am excited to watch the Stanley Cup Finals, and I'm off the charts excited for what's going to be an extremely, extremely busy October as we have the draft, followed by free agency on the 9th, and I expect a ton of player movement. Calgary is rumored in a ton of the movement, so that gets you really excited. But I really wish I knew what the official plan for next season was. I know time will tell, and I'll have to wait it out, and I read the reports. Bill Daly says he wants to get an 82-game season, and no, it might not start in December, or maybe it'll be January, and maybe it'll be a 60-game season, and all these rumors and stuff, and I just want to know a start date. I want to know how it's going to go. I want to know if we're going to be able to have fans. I want to know all these things, and you can't, because we're living in a world right now where there's just a lot of unknowns, and I'm not a real good guy in dealing with unknowns. I'm a planner, man. I like to plan, and having this off-season shortened and all a jumble, and we're supposed to be starting season two of the podcast, and we're still finishing season one, and I'm just, yeah, I don't know. It's been a goofy mess, but all's good, I guess, in the world, and things are being better, and everybody's getting healthier, and things are a bit good here. I'm also really excited, but I'm also a little bit nervous about what lies ahead for our Calgary Flames. Will it be a lot of moves, which I hope, you know, or will we have the disappointment of coming back with the same roster? And it's not that I hate this roster or I think this roster is bad. I just think that after 2 years going to the playoffs and having failure and seeing the same guys perform the same exact way, I think we need to make sure those guys are changed. I like some of the guys we've infused into the lineup, and I think if we tweaked and did a few more things, a bright future might lie ahead for the Calgary Flames. Speaking of futures and lying ahead, let's talk about what's on this episode. As this episode, we move into part two of the roster restructure. It's a busy episode. It's jam-packed. More Flames news just kept happening. And I delayed this one day, and it's a busy, busy episode. And we're going to start off by the naming of Jeff Ward as the head coach. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about Treliving. We'll talk about the coaching staff of the Flames. And then we'll dive deep into the defense and talk about some of the signings we would make, some we would not make, and what our defensive core would be like for next season if we were the general manager. Then we'll discuss tons of Flame news, including the naming of Mark Giordano as the winner of the Mark Messier Leadership Award. Congratulations to our captain. Then we'll wrap with a great listener question about the size of the Flames. Are the Flames big enough? Is that the problem? We'll address that as a listener question. Thanks for joining us here on another episode of Flames Unfiltered, brought to you by the Inside Edge Hockey News and the Hockey Podcast Network.
Balls can hurt, but yours don't have to. At Manscaped, we save balls. Prevent manscaping accidents with the Lawnmower 3.0, featuring skin-safe technology by Manscaped.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you use promo code THPN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
All right, Flames fans, the roster restructure continues. It was an idea I had while we were in the playoffs. It's like, well, what would I do if I was general manager? So I thought, well, hell, let's talk about it in the offseason. What a better thing to do. Speculation, new signings, trades. God, that's a lot of fun doing it. But yeah, I put a lot of time into it and having a lot of fun doing it. This week on the show, we're talking about two segments of the roster restructure. We're talking general manager, coach, coaching staff, and defenseman jam pack. Let's start right away with a general manager, Brad Treliving. In fact, it's safe to say that in my mind, I like Brad Treliving. I think his job is safe, even though maybe it shouldn't be. But with finances right now and the COVID restrictions and things like that, and teams being cash strapped in the front office, I don't think they're going to pay Brad Treliving and have another general manager come in. In October 2018, he signed a three-year deal. He's got 2 years left on that. And for the most part, I think he's a good I think he's been really, really good. He's signed 132 players. He's made 34 trades. On a bad note, he's had about that many coaches, which is scary. I don't know. Trades that I remember, Lucic, Neal. I freaked when that one went down. I love the Lindholm Hanifin for Furland, Hamilton, and Fox. It was great. I love bringing Travis Hamonic in for a first and a second. I think what Brad Treliving has done has been really good. For the most part, I think his biggest positive is that he's been able to sign a lot of players that were current Flames at below market value price tags. Michael Backlund, Matthew Tkachuk. There's been quite a few of them. Sean Monahan, I guess, for that matter, that one might be up for debate. Someone might tweet me a nasty gram on that one. Been a few I didn't like. I did not like the UFA signing that brought Neal here. Scary. When that first was announced, I was in love with that move. I thought it was great, and boy, did I get proved wrong on that one. But overall, I think Brad Treliving has done good things in Calgary, and he would be my pick to stay as general manager if I had a say in it. As for coach Jeff Ward, who today, which is Monday, was named the head coach of the Calgary Flames after a qualifying round win over Winnipeg and a first-round loss in six games to the Dallas Stars, Flames management has determined that he is the man for the job and has removed the interim tag. He was assistant coach in Boston for 6 years and won a cup there. Took over for Peters after the mess this year. He went 7-0 to get started. Ended his run in Calgary 18-8-2, which is a really good record. Would definitely, if it was, you know, spread out over a whole regular season, would be in the 100-plus point range. Positives, I think the team played well for him. I think the players like him. I think he gets good effort out of the players. He's a very calm guy, very by the books, a likable guy. Negatives, I did not like his constant line shuffling, and it sent me a message of was opposite of what I just said. I said he was a calm, and I think he stayed calm on the bench and didn't show it, but showed his panic by making quick line moves and not giving players an opportunity to gain some continuity. Offense has been a problem for him. Since he took over, the offensive production has not been good. It was much better under Bill Peters, and I don't know if that's a system issue or a player issue. I guess we'll find out. But I'm not pinning that completely on him, but I think that that might be a scary point. Does he demand excellence? Does he demand 100% effort? Because some nights I didn't see that from some of the guys. For the most part, it seemed like the team wanted to work hard for him. So I consider that a positive. But I think money played a role in this. I really do. I think it's a huge factor in this. Teams are cash strapped, man. I don't know. I'm not upset. I'm not pissed. I think Ward is fine. I think he's very capable. But if you look at the history of the Calgary Flames management, they've never spent money on coaches before. They've never brought in a high profile, expensive coach before. That might be a smart move, but we also haven't won and we haven't had playoff success for a decade. Has it been the players? Heck yeah. There's been a lot of negatives there. But you know what? We really don't know what it would have been like under a different coach, a high profile coach. I really wanted to see Gerard Gallant get this job. I really did. I'm not going to lie. Like I said, I don't think Jeff Ward is bad. But I just thought Gerard Gallant just really, really intrigued me on this one. I also know one thing, that as long as Treliving is the general manager, I highly doubt that Jeff Ward gets fired. He's went through way, way too many coaches, and I don't think another coaching change will happen in Calgary under Treliving's watch. I think Treliving would go before the coach would go. And it will be interesting to see how that all plays out. Now let's talk about this coaching staff on this team and what we would do there. After tons of struggles over the years, I mean decades of struggles with drafting, and the prospect pool just seems so weak through the 90s for the Flames, and now the late 90s and early 2000s. And I think that they've shored that up a little bit. And yes, I know the jury's still out on a lot of our young prospects, but I do believe that as a young core, this team's heading in the right direction. I think the scouts are so, so important right now in this cap world, and you have to maximize your prospects and your draft picks so, so much. But overall, I think the scouting's pretty good. Now, I looked at the other assistant coach, and I like Marty Jelena, and I like, you know, everybody involved for the most part. But I was visiting with a guy on Flames Hub, which is a Facebook group that I recommend each and everybody go join. It's called Flames Hub. I'm on there all the time. I get to talk to other Flames fans every day. And Dylan Simpson's on there, and he posts frequently, and I like a lot of the things he says. He's smart. Thinks the game real well. He made a comment on Jordan Singlet that really caught my attention. Now, this isn't completely 100% my opinion, but I wanted to throw out there what Dylan had to say on this. And he said that Jordan Singlet was hired to the Abbotsford, or signed to the Abbotsford Heat in 2011. Since then, he has coached goalies such as Curtis McElhinney, Henrik Karlsson, Daniel Taylor, Leland Irving, Yoni Ortio, Red Obera, yeah, I know, Calgary's had a lot of goalies, Kari Ramo, Jonas Hiller, Nicholas Backstrom, Chad Johnson, Brian Elliott, Eddie Lack, John Gillies, David Riddick, Mike Smith, Cam Talbot. Yeah, the list goes on and on. So now let's grade those goalies and how they did for the Calgary Flames. Dylan said that none of them, not one of them, has exceeded expectations. I would agree. Borderline met expectations. Talbot, he has down. I agree. Mike Smith, I agree. Johnson, I agree on that one too. Kari Ramo, he has down. I don't know. I don't know about that one. Did not meet expectations. Leland Irving, I agree. McElhinney, I would probably say he met my expectations. Jonas Hiller, I was so pumped when they signed him. But no, he didn't meet expectations. Karlsson didn't. Elliott didn't. Lack didn't. Taylor didn't. Backstrom didn't. He's got the jury still out on Gillies. I think that's books written and set sailed. I don't think Gillies will dress in a Calgary uniform again. He did not meet expectations. David Riddick, I don't know. How many years are we going to say, well, we'll give him a chance to be our man. Maybe he'll be our man. Maybe he'll be our man. Well, he's been ahead of the keys 2 years in a row and didn't drive the car in the playoffs. Tells you something. But we have had guys in net for Calgary that had the potential. You know, you look at starter potential. Rommel had starter potential. Elliott, Riddick, Talbot, Hiller, Smith, Gillies, maybe RTO. I don't know. He takes a look at Jordan Single at Hart and pointed out it's been a, in his words, pretty piss poor success rate of pushing our goalies to the next level. Now, yeah, I probably agree with Dylan on this one. But I also think that he probably hasn't been handed, and Dylan states that too, that he hasn't been handed maybe some of the greatest talent. But this is a critical year for goaltending, and we're going to talk about that next week on the roster rebuild part three. But, you know, we have a young prospect in Dustin Wolf coming up. We need to make sure Dustin Wolf gets the right coaching. And maybe Jordan Singlet's the guy. But eventually here, he's going to have to strike gold with one of these goalies. And thus far, based on those things and those facts, Jordan Singlet's not running a real good track record.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
All right, time to break down the defense and go through the roster restructure on defense. I'll start off with my transactions and what I would do. Number one thing I would do is sign restricted free agent Oliver Shillington. I would sign him to a $1 million a year for 2 year contract. I would then sign UFA defenseman Derek Forbert to a $1.155 million a year contract for 1 year. Then I would test the UFA market and I would sign Mark Pisick to a 3 year, $3 million contract. He is a defenseman that played for the Florida Panthers last year. 6'1", 200 pound defenseman. He's a good skater, good puck moving defenseman, can produce some offense. He logs important minutes and plays a steady game on the blue line. And that's exactly what we need. He's a guy that can move the puck, but also a guy that, that worries about on the defensive end. He's a low maintenance player. Not a overly physical player in my mind, but he's a quality puck-moving defenseman that plays a safe game, and I want to add that to the defense. You know, you look at last year's roster, and we lose a lot of guys. And yeah, I'll name them off. I would leave Michael Stone unsigned, even though it kills me not to sign him. He's an insurance policy. I thought hard about signing him. $750,000 1 year insurance policy, but you can only have so many guys waiting in the wings. And we have to give Oliver Shillington a one more chance, and you got to prove it to us. He's got to step up. He's got to step up. TJ Brody wanted to sign him, but he's going to get $5+ million, and his terms that he's going to get is going to be too long. And I see him ending up in Toronto. Travis Hamonic, love Travis Hamonic. The opt-out did not help him, I don't think. And he's an injury prone player. Part of it's because I love the way he plays. He's willing to risk his body and do anything for his team. And you can't find that very often. That's hard to find. And I love Travis Hamonic, and I'd love to have him in a Calgary jersey next year. But at $4+ million, I don't know. Maybe if it was a 2 year term, I would jump on it. But my gut tells me he's going to be playing for the Winnipeg Jets next year. Now, Erik Gustafsson, a guy we brought in at trade deadline. We saw him run the power play for us in the playoffs and did a pretty darn good job. His salary is going to go up drastically this year. Many people predict he's going to get $5+, which is way hefty and too much for me when I don't love him on the defensive end of it. And that's really what we need to do. We need to shore up our defense. In Calgary, we've been talking for years now about how we look so good defensively on paper. And we love our defense. It looks great. We look good. We look really, really good. And then about every year, midway through the season, we're like, damn it, we're not really very good on defense. And every year we look at our goaltenders in Calgary and go, oof, I don't know. I'm really worried about our goaltenders. I'm really worried about our goaltenders. And then at the end of the year, we look and go, well, damn it, our goaltenders were the only guys that were held their own. I liked our defense last 2 years on paper, but I didn't really like them on the ice. So now things are going to get shaken up, and it's going to happen because of unrestricted free agency. And you can't pay the farm out. Here's what my defense will look like next year if things went my way. I'd have Noah Hanifin starting. We'll go first pairing. I'd have Hanifin on the left, Rasmus Anderson on the right. My second pairing, Juuso Välimäki on the left, Mark Pisick on the right. Third pairing, Mark Giordano on the left, Derek Forbert on the right. Fourth pairing, Connor Mackey on the, this would be the, you know, not playing every night, Connor Mackey on the left, Oliver Shillington on the right. Maybe Oliver Shillington moves in and takes Forbert's spot. We'll see. Maybe Mackey does. But here's the deal. Everybody's like, oh, you have Mark Giordano on your third pairing? Yeah, because I, at his age, love his game, but I think if he wasn't up against the top pairings every single night, logging huge minutes at his age, it's wearing on him. Get him some minutes against not such a workload and have him healthy for the penalty kill, healthy for the power play, and rest it a little bit more. We can't ride him so he's dead all the time. Mark Giordano is a huge part of this hockey team, and we need to reduce his minutes. Now, there's lots of rumors flying around about other defenseman possibilities in Calgary. Elliot Friedman's reporting that Calgary's in deep on the Oliver Ekman-Larsson deal to Arizona. I'd love to add him to the back end. It'd be huge, but it's also a huge price tag. Be a huge, huge deal. I've also heard Calgary being linked to rumors of Rasmus Ristolainen in Buffalo. But are we willing to give up, with the exception of maybe one top end forward, to get one of those two? I don't know, are we? We'll talk about that a little more next week on the offense. 2020-2021, let's look at the positives and negatives of the defensive core. Positives, Välimäki's healthy. We need him to stay healthy. He's going to be a huge part, and this defensive pairing group goes as Välimäki goes next year. If he fulfills all our dreams, we're going to be in good shape in Calgary. If he gets injured again or struggles, then we might be in a hurt bag with depth. Then that would worry me. I like Hanifin and Anderson on the top end. I think we need to push Hanifin, expect and demand more out of him. I think he's fully capable. He's a good, young, strong defenseman that I think needs to be pushed a little bit. Negatives? It's that depth. I think on paper, we just look like we lack a little bit of depth. We're lacking that one more strong defenseman. But you know what? Maybe Oliver Shillington, maybe it's his time. And from what we heard about the modified summer preseason, Connor Mackey looks like a guy that's ready to make a step. And that's crazy to say for a guy we signed unrestricted from the NCAA at the end of the season last year. But all signs look really, really positive for him, and it'll be really, really fun to see what we get from Connor Mackey. It's going to be an interesting year. I know I got some bold moves on the defense, and it worries me a little bit, but it'll be interesting. And I think if we did get a Ristolainen or an Ekman-Larsson, it would be huge for our back end. I just don't want to pull so much salary back to the back and not have anything, because scoring on this team does scare me. It does scare me. We've went so many years with a great defensive group on paper that didn't really pan out on the ice. Maybe one not so great on paper will pan out on the ice. We'll see, huh?
Did you know that your favorite band also loves your favorite hockey team? If you love hockey and you love music, you're going to love Bar Down Breakdown, a podcast that explores the crossover between alternative music and the sport we love, hockey.
Every NHL player wants to be in a band, and every band guy wants to be a pro athlete.
With guests from all over the globe, come along with us as we interview some of the most captivating names in alternative music and talk about why we love hockey and how it's influenced us.
You know, there was a few seconds, I thought, like, well, maybe we should wear Montreal jerseys. And The NHL was like, I think you should stay neutral. And we're like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
So tune in every Tuesday on the Hockey Podcast Network, where we'll have a brand new guest and a unique look into the bridge between hockey and music.
All right, Flames fans, time for a little bit of Flames news, and we'll start it off with great news for our captain, Mark Giordano, as he is named the winner of the Mark Messier Leadership Award. Giordano exemplifies great leadership qualities on his team, on and off of the ice during the regular season, and plays a lead role in the community of Calgary in growing the game of hockey. Mark Giordano, class act, super happy for him. Named Mark Messier Leadership Award, great news. Johnny Gaudreau received 13 vote points, 3 fourth place votes, 4 fifth place votes for the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy. That earned him 25th place in the voting. Colorado Avalanche forward Nathan MacKinnon wins that award. Michael Backlund and Elias Lindholm receive nominations for the Selke Award. Lindholm won fifth place vote. Backlund won fourth place vote. Philadelphia Flyers forward Sean Couturier wins that award. And Jeff Ward, not only was he named head coach of the Calgary Flames today, he received 1 third place vote for the Coach of the Year award later last week. And Boston Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy won that award. The NHL draft has officially been scheduled for October 6th. That is a Tuesday night. We'll see round one that night. Wednesday afternoon, we'll see rounds 2 through 7. That's October 7th. Calgary holds the first pick, our first round pick, 19th overall. They also hold a second, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth and seventh round pick. Only missing a third round pick this year. The draft is always a really, really fun time. And more fun is a free agent day is set for October 9th. That's Friday of that week, and that's going to be a jam-packed week for the National Hockey League. Lots of for us to talk about on the show. In some other great news, defenseman Michael Stone aced a par 4 last week. Yes, an albatross. Scores a 1 on a par 4 using a 3-wood, the 269-yard par 4 at Mickelson National, hole number 16. The shot was witnessed by former Flame Troy Brower and Flames equipment manager Mark DePasquale. It's also last week was the 7th anniversary of Mika Kiprusoff announcing his retirement. Wow, time flies. We haven't had a strong number one, with the exception of Smith for a little bit, and I love Talbot for a lot of this year. But man, what would it be like to have a guy close to the Mika Kiprusoff quality? Amazing. In some sad news, Calgary Flames ownership announced that on September 1st, all Flames staff will receive a 20% pay reduction due to COVID-19 impact. We hope that is a short-term thing and not a long-term thing, as the whole country of Canada and the U.S. feels the financial grips of a pandemic. Let's roll on to the listener question. Comes from Jason Griggs, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. His question is, should the Calgary Flames focus on getting bigger? Tampa Bay has success this year. They got a little bigger in the offseason with some acquisitions. Patrick Maroon comes to mind. Calgary currently is an average of 6'1", 199 pounds, which is about average in the league. There's some teams that are quite a bit bigger, and there's some teams that are smaller. You know, St. Louis captured the cup last year. They were 6'1", 205. Calgary is close to that. To answer the question, Jason, well, I don't know that we need to, like, make a strong focus on, hey, like, it's critical that we get bigger. But I think size is relevant. And I think we need to make sure that maybe not physically bigger, but grittier, bigger. You look at who was strong players for us in the playoff. Sam Bennett, Rasmus Anderson, both not the hugest guys, but guys who played with heart, fight, and grit every single night. That's what we need. We need want, and we need determination. And yes, it doesn't hurt to keep getting a little bigger and not have a bunch of smaller guys. But you've got to have the mean toughness of Matthew Tkachuk, of Sam Bennett, of Rasmus Anderson. You need to have that grit. Noah Hanifin needs to get a little more grit. There's other players I'm not picking on Noah Hanifin. But to get you to that next level, sometimes it takes just that little bit of extra push.
Get all your Flames Unfiltered podcasts, team news, team updates, and highlights at flamesunfiltered.com.
All right, Flames fans, that wraps another edition of Flames Unfiltered. I always like talking Flames hockey with you. Big announcement for next year. Coming next season, Hot Mic. We are going to have a Calgary Flames Hot Mic Game of the Week. I will have a listener group. I will host it. We'll talk Flames hockey as the game goes on, and we'll watch some Flames games together this year. Each week this week, we will pick a game, and it'll be the Calgary Flames Hot Mic Game of the Week. I'm excited for that. I hope you are, too. Next week, the roster restructure continues as we move into goaltenders and forwards. I will give you my opinions on what I think Flames management should do to get this team over the first-round playoff hump. We need a run. We need a streak. And we need to make progress. I want long playoff runs. Enjoy the end of the conference finals, one which ended tonight, the other one which will probably end in the next couple nights, and then we're on to the Stanley Cup finals. It's just around the corner. See you next week, Flames fans. Have a great week, and thanks for listening to Flames Unfiltered.
Get connected. Flames Unfiltered can be found on Twitter at Flame Unfiltered. And also make sure you check out our Facebook page at Flames Unfiltered. Check out host Brad Brood on Twitter at Brad Brood. And if you like what you hear, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can find Flames Unfiltered on all the major podcast players. Consider subscribing to Inside Edge Hockey News on Patreon. That'll get you exclusive content and much more. Thanks again and enjoy the hockey. Thanks for tuning in to Flames Unfiltered. Check back for more action-packed Calgary Flames talk.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This has been a production of Inside Edge Hockey News Radio, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. This production is copyrighted and distributed by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.